Now, what is interesting in a lot of this conversation around what is critical race theory, is this a theory? Let's grapple a little bit with the word theory. Well, what is a theory? Is this an idea that we can challenge with tests and experiments? No. It's an analytical framework. It has commitments that explore a range of ideas like the biology of race and how the law otherwise defines race. Well, Siobhan, what's that whole thing about race being a social construct? We talk about that too, both in public discourse, but also in law school spaces. Well, the sociological construction of race still has real world implications for how the law is applied, how we think about the law, how we consider changes, reforms, adjustments in our laws. It believes that race over time has become a bit more nuanced. It is no longer simply intentional actions and the things that were once defined as racism singularly, intentional, discrete, abhorrent acts. Well, how is this an evolution of our language and our understanding? Well, what is it like? How is this like originalism? Well, originalism also interrogates history, and so does critical race theory. The two use applications and understandings of legal history, the sociological, political, and other times at the times cases were decided in its understanding of, well, how and why did the court frame the issue in the way that it did? What facts become most relevant to the court in its understanding and application of the test that it does construct? Those are two amongst several, and critical race theorists will say, well, there's anywhere from 2 to 8 basic commitments and tenets, but those are two main themes that we explore in critical race theory. Someone might say, well, removing someone from the classroom because of their hair is about a grooming policy. Well, critical race theory will explore, well, let's think about what hairstyles are a part of that grooming policy and why those become central to what the policy is and then developed. So if you think of it as an analytical framework designed to explain, interrogate, and understand facts, legal tests, doctrines, then it qualifies as a theory. I think of Oliver Wendell Holmes, one of the great jurists of our time. He was defined as a legal realist. He identified himself as a legal realist. And what that meant for him was, well, you don't always get the same outputs with the same inputs, with the same facts, with the same variables and cases. And he would say, well, why is that? Well, it's because you have different jurists, you have different arbiters of facts, whether or not those are jurors or others, making assessments of the same facts, but with different social, political, and other predilections. Oliver Wendell Holmes' legal realism, it partly informs critical race theory. So how do we get these outputs? How do we still get deep-seated inequality under formal colorblind rules? Can we have a belief that there is such a thing as structural racism? So what isn't critical race theory? It isn't a static conclusion. Does CRT say that all people of a certain demographic are racist? No. Well, isn't it reverse racism to call out race? No. CRT does not aim to discriminate. It aims and it asks people to think about these issues in their understanding of the law. It doesn't suggest that you take a position, but it does offer a way to understand the force of race in the construction of law, policies, and systems. And I'm going to put up an example that many of you are probably familiar with, and I want to talk a little bit about the fundamental distinction and why there is often a disconnect in how we come to conclusions on the presence of discrimination or racism. Parents involved. So the court struck down two school districts' plans to integrate schools that, because of residential segregation patterns in one case and the reverberation of racial segregation in the other, left the school districts without diverse populations of students across its schools. Effectively, the court found that school districts' efforts to desegregate were the constitutional equivalent of de jure segregation. So can we effectively account for or consider race at all? Is just merely thinking about race harmful as a matter of reason? Are we only looking for those discrete, identifiable, intentional, irrational acts of racism? If we focus on discriminatory motive in a vacuum,